Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production, with your hosts, the brilliant Bob, Majestic Mark, and Witty Wade. This week, the side-splitting triform of comedy honed their sights on conundrums that would defeat a Holmes, Marple, or Columbo. For today, they discuss the perfect crime. Please prepare thy deer hunter hats and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Distractable, where we discuss anything that interests us, and two of us compete to see who can bring the most interesting and or dumbest sounding story they can imagine. Whoever brings the best story, as judged by me, arbitrarily, will be declared the winner of this episode and earns the right to host next week's episode. Since I won such a stunning, mind-blowing victory last time, I get to be the judge, like I said. I'm pretty excited about that. But before we get into all the shenanigans and whatnots, I'm joined, of course, by Mark and Wade, my co-hosts. Hello.
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 You matched my cadence. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You could stop. It's okay.
Oh, thank God.
I appreciated it. It's over now. That doesn't have to happen anymore. How are you? How is your time on living going?
Man. Good? You all right, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Better before you worded the question like that, I think. Now I'm a little concerned about my time living.
Well, you gotta enjoy it while you're still alive, right? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Man, life's good. Life's real good. Mm. I recently got a new bed. I don't know if you guys care. I'm not gonna say the brand because we're not sponsored yet. Mm. But it's a bed that has like active water cooling in it.
Oh shit!
Legitimately, it's a bed. It's got a little like pump and it's got a little like fan radiator that you put by the side, and it keeps everything cool. And so, as a challenge last night, I turned it up to its maximum coldness. And let me tell you, that thing gets frigid. I was sleeping in a hoodie because it was so cold. And I loved it.
Did you think about maybe turning the temperature back up?
No. Why would I do that? It can get cold.
Dude, that sounds amazing. That sounds like my actual dream.
It is amazing. Like, no joke. It's not, like, fake in terms of its advertising. It gets freaking cold. And I love that. I just want to always be cold when I go to bed.
Is it, like, the whole bed? Or is it, like, half and half?
So, like, it's split into two sections. Okay. So, like, you can temperature control each side.
Right.
Is it, like, one person half or, like, cuts you in half?
No, one
top
person.
Top and bottom. Yeah. fuck you. it's either top half cold or bottom half cold. It can't be both.
Or diagonal. It could be a diagonal cut.
Yeah.
Just a nonsense bed. That sounds sick, though.
Yeah, I want random spots across my back to be hot and cold intermittently. I want to wake up in a night.
Oh, yeah, like a plaid pattern or something, yeah.
Is that, like, classy and self-contained, or are you sleeping on, like, an early 2000s computer liquid cooling rig with, like, a tank on the side?
No, it's actually fantastic. It's not uncomfortable to sleep on. It's just, like, a fully... We got the bed and the top, because it's, like, the actual radiative part is, like, this... almost like mattress cover you put on and zip it up to their mattress. And you can kind of feel the water pipes running through it, but it's really not that bad. It's quite nice. I like it a lot.
How much is a 16-core water-cooled 4080 Ti bed?
I'm not going to say because I don't want to talk about the thing itself until they pay us money.
Wow.
It's like sleeping on plumbing, but kind of comfortable.
They'd better sponsor us, company who definitely knows who you are and listens to this.
They have all my information. They know exactly where I am. They know how I sleep. That's the only problem with it, is it's got very sketchy like data collection about your sleep patterns.
No.
And so it knows my heart rate, my breathing rate. And of course, this is all for your health, but you have to sign up for an account with their app, and I'm sure it communicates
good.
It back. So they know exactly my sleep. Is it going to get text in the middle of the night if I get up? Why aren't you asleep?
Is your bed like a Peloton? It's like a subscription service bed. If you don't subscribe, you don't get the cooling features and stuff. It's just a normal bed. Yeah. It's like, man, $50 a month?
Yeah.
Damn it.
It just folds in half, keeps you from even laying on it.
Some guy named Jerry's going to call me up the next day like, hey, you weren't sleeping so good last night. You okay? You all right, man?
You just starts to see a bunch of really weird like tabloid headlines about your sleep patterns. Like, what the fuck? Got a weird-ass conjecture? Oh, no, the mattress.
On June 17th, Markiplier awoke at 6:30 a.m. 6:30! Why? We'll find out why he wasn't sleeping that well that night. Bad news coming to you live.
I mean, I do get up at 5:45 in the morning, so.
Well, therefore, you were awake. Oh, my God, I predicted the past.
Yeah, man.
Is there a job for that?
Can I... Good job.
No, dude, speaking of sleeping and or not sleeping, I don't know what's happened, but in the last week, I've lost the ability to sleep.
Yeah.
Even when I'm exhausted, I lay in bed and I just start having like crazy fever dreams of like Bo Burnham's Inside playing on repeat in my head at all hours. I was up until like 4 or 5 a.m. last night and the night before, just like can't stay asleep, but I'm exhausted. I think I need one of your magic beds, Mark.
Yeah, my magic beds that I make.
Or I have an alternative. Join me more often on GTA RP and then stay up till 6 in the morning and then have to get up at like 10 or 11 and be so tired that every night when you do lay down, you pass out immediately. I've solved my insomnia. Just don't get enough sleep.
I'm willing to try stuff at this point.
You guys want to play right now? You busy? My RP?
No.
I can stop anytime.
And look, we're here to do something, okay? That's enough small talk. Very sleep-focused small talk this week, but it's fine. We're here to play a game. Do you like games?
Yeah, I like games.
Good. Well, this one has no rules and the outcome is completely arbitrary, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
This week's prompt is, what is your perfect crime?
Perfect crime. Mm.
I feel like I have this. I think most people have this. I'm sure you've thought of like, maybe you had a job or there was some situation where you had some knowledge or access to something and you were like, you know what? I am the one person in the world where I could do this. I could steal this thing or I could do this one thing and get away with it. No one would ever suspect me and I can pull it off perfectly.
To be clear, this is a crime we would do, not one we have already gotten away with.
Yeah, don't describe past acts. This is a new theoretical crime.
I just Googled what the statute of limitations is.
I mean, it's up to you. If you can get in trouble, but you want to win that badly, then, you know, do what you're going to do. But
you can
invent anything you want. It could be a crime that only you could commit. Steal your own rectum or something. I don't know.
I typed in statute of limitations. It's very different than the statute.
The statute of limitations is just a really boring statue that had all these rules about how it had to look. Very limited.
Okay, nonviolent felonies committed by a minor. 2 years, so I'm good. No, that's Connecticut. Ah, shit.
Nonviolent felonies committed by a minor. What the hell?
Better make sure you're covered. Better be careful.
I'm not saying I did anything particularly heinous, but, you know, just like if I want to start talking about things, I better be ready.
Your perfect crime would be a nonviolent felony and committed by a minor?
I got away with it, didn't I? Am I in jail right now? No.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can tell, it was perfect because he did get away with it, I assume.
It was the perfect crime. Yeah, it was a perfect crime.
All right, well, the tradition is for you to do titles or whatever. It sounds like Wade's still thinking. So, Mark, you got a title?
Well, I don't even know my title, but let me...
Great.
Give me 5 seconds.
I don't even know my crime.
This is a concerning pattern we have where I feel like people are starting to be like, no, you go first. No time. Make it up.
No, I want to go first. You didn't give us any time to think about it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll edit in like the Jeopardy theme or something, but not, you know, copyright-free version.
A royalty-free version of the Jeopardy theme.
The Jeopardy theme where all the intervals are inverted. That sounds horrifying. Finish it out, Will. Is your name Will, motherfucker?
Where there's a Will, there's a Wade.
You're supposed to be thinking right now.
I came up with something.
I know for a fact you can't think and talk.
Done. Title.
You.
My player 2.
Oh, I've got an even better story.
Okay, well.
See, Mark's out here thinking.
Oh, let me come up with a title for this one. It makes me look terrible and stupid, but it's fine. I you ready? Are you guys ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
The title is called I Did It for Love.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Mark, we've got I Did It for Love. Are you sticking with your Swain? My player, too?
I'll think about it. I'll let Mark go first, like I said. Maybe I will.
No, come on, play the game. Otherwise, this whole show falls apart.
I just yelled something. No, I'm keeping player 2, and I'll make it fit.
Just because I'm super curious, I actually do want to hear Mark's first.
I knew it.
I know, I'm totally letting Wade cop out and think, even though he's not going to think, he's just going to say some bullshit.
No, I had a crime ready.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who did you do it for? Who's love?
Okay. All right, so I think I was 15 years old at the time. I'm not 100% sure, but something like that, maybe 14. And so there's a preview story of this that I have to explain because it kind of sets up the reasoning of why I did this. So it was like sophomore year at homecoming. And I'm going with no date. I'm just going with some friends. And I could get into more description of this evening. But let's just say, in summary, I went there alone and I left there not alone.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, not nice.
All right.
Not nice, because one of my friends came with a date.
Oh.
And I don't really remember how one event led to another, but at some point during the dance, I received my first kiss from their date at homecoming.
You're not invited to my house anymore.
This isn't the perfect crime. This is a setup for this, right? Okay. So, like, I accidentally or intentionally, or I didn't care, I stole one of my friend's dates for homecoming. And so, like, long story short, we were going to hang out at a later date. And I think it was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was having their midnight release premiere thing the following week.
Dude, I went to the midnight release of that one too.
Yeah, yeah. So did I, kind of.
Was that the one that came out before Order of the Phoenix?
Yeah, that's the fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fourth one.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So this person, I forget what their name is, so I'm going to call them...
Smithers.
Yeah, okay, Smithers. Yeah, so Smithers wanted to go out to the midnight premiere of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire and invited me, and we were going to make it like a date, but they were also going to be like with friends. And I...
What a dumb name, Smithers.
Yeah, so Smithers really wanted me to come along to this, and I really wanted to go. But, you know, I had a very strict bedtime, you know, 10 o'clock, and I'm in bed, and I can't go out. So I planned it perfectly that I was going to sneak out and go to this movie premiere. And, like, I had everything prepared. I went to bed. I waited to hear my dad and my stepmom go to bed. And I, like, waited another 30 minutes. I slept in my bed with my clothes on because I was ready. And so I, when the time comes and I hear them close the door and all the, it's quiet for a while, I slowly get out of bed. You know, it's squeaking, but I'm, like, being real careful about it. And, like, I'm tiptoeing as carefully as I can. And before I left, just in case they came in my room and were wondering where I was, I left a little note being like, you know, I went to a movie premiere. I'll come back to that note later because it's important, but it'll, like, I'll get it at the end. So I sneak out of the house and I don't go out the front door. I go out the back door. It's not like our doors had like beep, beep, beep alarms or anything, but I just thought the front door was not sneaky enough.
Oh, too obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Too obvious.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
So I sneak out the back and like, we have a sliding door in the back, and it also is like way squeakier and way louder. You know how sliding doors are when they're old and they got dirt in there. And so
it's like an earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. I sneak out the back and I creep around the side, but I don't go around the side where my parents' bedroom is because they could see me, even though there's no windows that look out the side yard. When I sneak out that way, I went around the other way through the gravel, the very loud, crunchy gravel. So I sneak out the side and I get in the car, which I was like still learning how to drive. So technically, I guess I was going to be driving illegally anyway, but I didn't care because I was doing it for love. And so I got in my car, and for some reason, my dumbass, you know, didn't put it in neutral and like roll it out of the driveway. No, I just turned that baby on in the driveway and then I flipped the lights for some reason, like just blasting the house with lights. I'm like, oh, shit. And I waited a few minutes in the car, like I was waiting for the comical like light in my parents' bedroom to turn on. Hey, what was that?
So sneaky.
So sneaky. And then I roll the car out of the driveway and I drive to the movie theater. And at this point, I had taken so long to get out of the house, you know, because the midnight premiere isn't always at midnight. It's sometimes at 11.
Sure.
So I think I snuck out at 10:30, but it took me half an hour to go from my bedroom down the hall, downstairs, out the back, through the gravel path, and then in the car and out. So by the time I was leaving, it was 11 o'clock. So I get to the movie theater. And there's no line or nothing. It's like, because everyone's in the theater watching the movie. Like, every single one is open. So everyone's already in. And so, like, here I am, like, and I don't think I had a cell phone at this point. So I couldn't, like, text them and say, hey, I'm here. Which theater are you in? And so what I did was I got a ticket because it was like, yeah, I'll take a ticket. Because it doesn't matter. You just get a ticket and you go in. And so I didn't know where they were. So what I did was I poked my head in every single one of the theaters. Leaned over and just kind of scanned the crowd for a bit. And like people were like looking at me all shifty, like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? And I'm like, where are you, Mithers, where are you? And so, not that theater, so I go over to the next theater.
What a dumb name.
And I'm catching, like, snippets of Harry Potter as I go into, like, the rooms at one at a time. And I go into every single movie theater, and I could not find Smithers, no matter how hard I looked. And at that point, it got so far into the movie that I was just like, man, I'm missing out on the movie. So I just went into a random-ass theater and just sat in one of the handicapped seats, and I was like, I might as well watch it. I'm here. So I watched the movie, didn't find him. I waited outside when everyone was filing out of the movie theater, and I couldn't find them. Smithers was nowhere to be seen. So I go back into my car, and I'm like scanning around, and I wait until everyone leaves the parking lot. And I'm like, oh God, they're not here. I'm all alone. So like, and then in part of my perfect planning, I drive back home and I fill up the gas tank perfectly because I remembered exactly where it was.
Nice.
I thought desperately about how to roll back the odometer to make sure that it wasn't any indication that I was out that night, because of course I thought my dad would check first thing in the morning what the odometer was or even remember. And so I like snuck it into the driveway. I retrace my steps going back through the gravel path and in through the sliding door, which I had left unlocked. Sneak up to my room, and I just look at the note that I wrote, and it was the stupidest note, because it said, like, Dad, comma, I know you're probably worried about me, but don't be. I snuck out, and I, to go see, like, Smithers at the movie theater. I know you probably think less of me for this, but just know that I did it for love. Signed, I think I wrote sincerely, Mark.
Do you need to put it in an alternate name? Do we need to edit in something for Dad and Mark so they don't know it's you and your dad?
No, that's fine. Okay. No. I don't think people are going to be confused that it's their dad.
I love a vignette of your dad. Like, he hears the car driving away and, like, peeks out the window stealthily as you're driving away and is like, oh, no, he didn't. And then just goes to your room and picks up the letter. And it's just there reading it like, oh, no, I don't think less of you at all, son. You go get Smithers. Oh, that's my point. And he just like puts the note back and is like, well, just pretend. It's fine. Such a well-crafted plan.
Oh, God. And really, like, I got away with it. But honestly, there was nothing really to get away with. But I didn't even go on a date. I just saw like 2/3 of Harry Potter.
You just went and saw a movie by yourself.
In a movie theater that could not be more crowded, where there was only one handicapped seat. And it was like right by the path that goes out the exit. So I just like sat down there and just watched 2/3. I still to this day don't think I've seen the beginning of Goblet of Fire.
Well, it's too sad at this point. It's painful.
Yeah.
Well, Harry probably starts off with the Dursleys and goes to school. So there you go. You're welcome.
All right.
Got him.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. So that is my perfect crime that I did for love.
Literally no one was any the wiser. I love it.
Was anybody loved?
No, actually.
Great.
Sadly, no, because I like the quote unquote relationship between me and Smithers kind of fizzled out after that. They kind of stopped responding to me. So
I should just got more desperate. I was yeah, hoping absolutely. You'd be like, I started by peeking in, I didn't find them, and then I just resorted to just running from theater to theater and just peeking around the corner and be like, Smithers! Smithers! Just see if anyone looks. A whole movie theater full of hundreds of people's experience of Harry Potter was ruined because trying to find Smithers.
I'd like to think I'm like awakening some strange memory in someone who went to this premiere and they're like, yeah, this weird guy walked into our movie theater. It was very strange. Just like looking around shouting for Smithers! Smithers, are you here? Smithers, it's me, my love!
I'm curious if I know who Smithers and the Boo are.
Yeah, anyway. So that's my perfect crime. No one will ever know. No one will ever know.
So this is unrelated, but it's a picture that I've saved across multiple cell phones and for quite a while. And I believe it's from the midnight premiere of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire that I went to, because it's a picture, a very grainy old Android picture that I have currently saved on my phone of a theater sign that just says Harry 3 Dicks.
Excuse me?
Because it's Harry Potter 3D IMAX or something, but it was just like the way the sign cut everything off, and it just says Harry 3 Dicks outside of a theater, and to this day it's the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. Doesn't really match your love story, though. I got to be honest.
No. And I don't even know if you could call that a love story, because there really was no love. And I hope that somewhere in my parents' house, that letter is saved. Unless for some reason, I would believe that I burned it. You know, I believe that I probably burned it.
100%.
There can be no evidence.
You got back. You had like a trash bag sitting. You put your clothes that you wore into a trash bag so you could take them separately to be disposed of so they wouldn't smell the popcorn butter on your clothes when they were doing your laundry. Yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I feel like everyone has done that. I don't have a specific story about sneaking out, but like all of those things you described are such big emotions from my childhood. Our back door was so fucking squeaky. And the way my parents' house is structured, the back door is like under their bedroom, you know? And there's actually like a laundry chute from their closet to a closet that's right by the back door, which is also by the garage door. So there's like no good way out. I have so many memories of, I mean, I was a good kid. Don't listen to this, mom and dad. But I have so many memories of like getting to the back door and just like taking one tiny step at a time and unlock the lock and it clicks and it echoes through the whole house, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Kids are morons.
Pretty dumb. Very dumb.
I mean,
but also,
you can get away with it, I guess.
Perfect crime.
Yeah. Literally, no one was hurt. So maybe your pride, and no one was caught.
I wonder how Smithers is doing. Hope they're okay.
Call him up. Smithers, do you want to come on the show?
Smithers, you went to a voice changer interview on the show where we only call you Smithers, and you have like that low, like...
Yeah, I remember that movie. It was a fun night. I wish Mark had been there, though.
Oh, no.
I like to think they're on like a really torn up couch, like in a one room like apartment, sitting there watching like a really tiny like 1950s TV. But they've got like it tuned in somehow where they can listen to the audio for the podcast where there's nothing but snowy static on their screen. They're smoking a cigar and they hear that off and they're like,
you know what? I would like to come on the show.
And they put out the cigar and they go to a library that can log into Facebook or something and try to reach out to us.
Yeah.
If that's your life, Smithers, reach out. We want to hear it.
I really like that in your head, an old 1950s black and white TV and Facebook are the same level of outdated technology that one person has access to.
That's what everyone born after us thinks anyway.
Wow. Well, good story, Mark. Definitely some points for that. Points for you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
X number of points.
Ooh, a good number.
Wade, did we sufficiently stall for you to come up with something?
Yeah, so I had two stories. I forgot them both, so I'm still going to end up winging it.
All right. Well, are you sticking with My Player 2 title?
My Player 2. It's perfect.
It's going to make so much sense.
All right. So you know how, like, some people meet via, like, online forums or, like, they'll have, like, those text dating things where, like, you know, you meet somebody, you don't, like, actually talk, like, with your voice or video or photo or anything. You just kind of get to know each other via messaging online.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Like, texting?
Yeah, but typically more like through your PC, not like through your phone.
Oh, like chat rooms and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So you go on, you make a username, get like a little avatar or something maybe, and you meet someone, you connect, you get to know them a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you find out plenty of info, you plan like maybe a date, and you figure out where they live to go pick them up one night or something, okay? But you stall that first meeting, okay? You figure out where they live at, and you know what you do? You go apply to become security there.
At their house?
In a perfect world, it's more like an apartment complex in this scenario, right?
Okay.
If it's a house, you break up and you find someone else.
I have to tell you, I recognize the tone of voice that you're using right now, and it's making me really concerned about the trajectory of this story, but I'm going to allow you to continue.
This is a perfect crime, is it not?
But see, it doesn't have to be about, like, murdering someone or something. This is getting a little murdery already. I'm just concerned.
It might be murdery. We'll find out.
Oh, good.
All right. So you get to be security there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to be security. You figure out, okay, well, they said to pick them up at apartment so-and-so. And you get to see what they look like. You see them. You kind of learn their routine. You don't, like, spy on them, stalk them, like, go sit outside their door or anything. But you kind of figure out when they're there, when they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So here, you know what? We'll even dodge the murdery. You're welcome.
Oh, good.
So you don't need to do anything. But you do wait till, like, maybe they're like, hey, I'm going to be out of town for a while. And you go, and as security, you access their apartment. You go in. You get on their computer. You find their account where they're logging in and chatting with you, and you send messages to this stud muffin that they're talking to, and then you run home and you message back, and then you get to be your own player too, and when they come back, they're very confused.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect crime. I cut out like 9/10 of that for you to dodge the murder. You're welcome.
Well, I have to say, it barely seems like a crime if you cut out the murder, I guess.
Oh, it's breaking and entering.
Yeah, well, only a little. Plus, you know, no one was there, so is it really a crime?
Is it not a crime to break into someone's house if they're not home?
I'm pretty sure. If I've learned anything from TV, it's that you can do whatever you want as long as there's a camera on you and no one else is watching.
Wait, what crime did Mark commit? Didn't he just, like, break his dad's rules?
House leavery.
Yeah, exactly.
Is house leavery worse than breaking and entering?
In Grand Take Auto.
I did drive without a license.
Oh, yeah, that's probably illegal.
Yeah, that's very illegal. Extremely illegal.
Super illegal.
You know what? Yeah. I lockpicked into their apartment without a lockpicker person. Locksmith is the word.
But maybe you were doing it for security reasons.
All right, so you don't like the being your own player, too. I've got another one here.
I'm just curious, the payoff for that.
Who's better for you than you? Fuck that person.
Well, so I'm getting at something here.
You get to flirt fuck yourself via text.
I know it's not the same if it's not from a house you've broken into, but couldn't you accomplish essentially that exact same thing without any of the hassle of getting a different job and breaking into a place? And couldn't you just have some other account on some other computer or something?
Oh, God, boring. Who suffers in that scenario?
I mean, it sounds like the only one suffering in any of this is really you, but that's for reasons unrelated to the criminal aspects.
Loneliness should be a crime.
How about you try your second story?
All right. Well, I'm well prepared for the second story, and I've thought it out a whole lot.
Good. Lots of details. Lay it out.
Could this be murdery, or are we dodging the murdery?
You can murder. Go ahead.
You know what? I don't have to murder. I got it. I don't got it.
All right.
What do you guys think of water balloons? They're nice, right?
Big fan of water balloons, man.
I like water balloons, yeah.
All right. So what if I had, like, one of those wagons full of water balloons, okay?
One of those wagons?
One of we talked about these on the show, like the red wagon with, like, the wood thing around. Okay,
like a removable side red wagon, okay.
Like normal pulley wagon, okay? So you get a bunch of water balloons, however much it takes to fill up. They're ready to go. These are water balloons that are ready to go. And you go to, like, a park, okay? A park cool. Where people are, like, having picnics, walking their dogs, doing that kind of thing. Like, you know, just a good old-fashioned, relaxing park. Mm-hmm. You find a spot kind of, like, hidden where not too many people go, but it's still within range of, like, being at the park. And you bring a shovel, you dig a hole, and you put the water balloons in there, and you kind of loosely cover them up to where they're not going to pop from, like, the weight, but, like, they're still covered, okay? And you get the wagon, you get out of there. And you come back at a later date, next day, same day, whatever, and you dig out the water balloons. It's like a crowded, warm day, and you just start launching them at people, where it's like Armageddon of water balloons. And if they start to catch on where they're coming from, you fucking book it out of there. Perfect crime. Did I do it that time? Is that a good crime?
I guess I'm trying.
I'll call it the title is the park wettening, moistening of the park.
Yeah, I was gonna say that kind of just sounds like you mispronounced the park wedding.
All right, the moistening of the park.
I feel like there could be way more that could be done in terms of, like, the perfect crime.
All right, like, the water balloons are full of syrup.
That's better. I still struggle to find any serious criminal activity in that story.
Of serious criminal activity, okay.
It's more like a public nuisance.
They're full of acid.
Oh my God.
Ooh, that escalated.
Is that a crime?
That's definitely a crime,
Yes!
I got there.
Yeah. I got it! Battery acid balloons.
I don't know if that's perfect, though. I feel like you're just standing in front of a crowd of people throwing acid balloons at them. They definitely know it was you.
You build a catapult and you launch them.
Okay. You're still standing in kind of a public place. It would be hard to conceal the sounds and activities of a catapult.
You invent a jetpack and you fly way overhead where they can't see you.
Okay, so you're sort of jetpack hand bombing people with acid balloons.
Yeah.
I would steer away from, like, acid stuff because, like, those are actual attacks that happen and they're horribly disfiguring and they're pretty depressing to talk about.
All right. Well, we'll go back to syrup. Syrup with, criminal levels of sugar. You're going to get so much sugar, you're going to throw up sugar.
You're trying to induce hyperglycemia?
You know what? I got it. Okay. Fuck the acid, fuck the syrup. What you do is you build a shrink ray, okay? And you become like a monkey tamer, and you tame a bunch of monkeys, and you shrink them. And you give the monkeys little tiny shrunken life jackets, okay? And you put them in the balloons, fill them with water, but you leave enough air to where the monkeys can float and get some oxygen. And what you do is you get a small plane, and you fly over the park, and you drop your monkey bombs, okay? But it's like the, remember the egg drop thing in physics where you drop the thing and the egg has to be okay? So you get it to where the monkeys land safely because of their life jackets and balloons, maybe you cover them in peanut butter or whatever the hell, but you train them to run around and steal everyone's valuables, and they're so small that it's hard to detect them. All they can see is like their watch running away. And then they meet up in an undisclosed location. But you got some other monkeys that are trained to make sure they're not followed. If they're followed, they're like, you're ex-monkicated. There's a pun in there. And then you get rich from the trained tiny water balloon monkeys.
That actually is a fascinating idea.
Thank you.
Not 100% with it, but like, okay, what if you trained a monkey to kill? Like, legitimately, what if you, I'm not saying this is a good idea,
sure,
but if you trained a monkey and like showed him a picture of someone and you like psychologically tortured the monkey, and I'm not saying do this is like obviously this is what a horrible person would do, but what would happen if that monkey was successful in its mission? Like, you made an assassin chimp and you just let loose and it's like a guided missile because this monkey is like on the prowl for this one target, and you like release it into the ventilation system of the building, and like, I don't know, what would happen if a monkey that you trained, it's not like it's gonna squeal on you. Like, if a monkey just like somehow got into the vent, like, what are you gonna do? Like, you teach it how to ride public transit so it knows exactly what the stops are.
I mean, if we're in a comic book, no one has any ideas. You're the brilliant supervillain, the zookeeper who trains exotic animals, and they do your bidding, and yeah, sure, maybe if you build a reputation people will know, but no one will ever figure it out. I think if we live in the real world, it would be pretty hard to get a monkey without there being some sort of record. And it would be even harder to have a monkey without that showing in your, like, financial records.
No. You get rich enough to have, like, a private jet, and then you just fly to where monkeys live, and you get a monkey, and you fly back on your private jet.
I feel like if you are able to get a monkey, you already exist kind of outside the realm, because I don't know if it's legal to own a chimp. I'm pretty sure it's probably not.
Okay, just move to a place where there's monkeys and just live there. Go to the monkeys. Don't bring them to you.
No. I mean, like, if you're there, you're already in the realm of kind of living outside the law, so people don't know that you have a monkey is what I'm saying.
It's illegal to live in a country where monkeys run around?
No. That's not what I'm saying. You're misconstruing my ideas.
Of course.
I'm saying if in America, if you have access to monkeys, no one's going to know that you have a monkey, right? Because you got monkey to kill all the people that gave you the monkey.
Ooh.
And then everything is a closed loop from start to finish. You train three monkeys, one to go after the people that sold you the monkeys, one to kill the other monkey so it doesn't squeal, and then the one to complete the mission.
This is sounding kind of murdery with the killing.
That's the entire premise of this. The perfect crime has to be the most heinous possible. It's about getting away with the absolute, utmost, most devious thing that you can and getting away with it perfectly, right? Bob, am I wrong?
I'm going to go with yes, absolutely 100% correct.
All right, so my water balloons are full of, damn it, they're still monkeys.
I don't think you can improve on monkey water balloons, I gotta be honest.
They're tiny monkeys that they hold hands and get into a circle and they go around someone's neck, but they slowly, like, one monkey leaves. It's like Duck Duck Goose. One monkey leaves until, like, the group is so tight-knit that it's choking you to death with a circle of monkey necklace.
Yeah, but that's the question. What is the most heinous crime? Like, you could blow up, like, the world, but that not necessarily a crime. I don't think there's a law written for don't blow up the world.
I think it's eating the last chicken wing and not offering it to someone.
God, you think so small. Think big. Death.
Okay.
Come on, think bigger.
I think the most heinous crime has to involve, like, the limits of human technology. What you got to do is you find someone who's just, like, deeply in love. Like, a couple of people that are deeply in love. And then you figure out which one would be easier to sort of, you know, snatch up, whatever. You're a rich person, so that's easy to accomplish, I assume. Uh-huh. And what you do is you put the one that you've taken on a spaceship. You buy out all the seats on a Virgin Galactic flight.
Uh-huh.
And you rig it so that it doesn't just go into low orbit and then come back and land and everything. It goes permanently into a geostationary orbit directly above the home of the lover that you stole them away from.
Uh-huh.
And you angle the Virgin Galactic space plane, whatever the hell it is, their craft. There's a big reflective bottom on it, I assume, because space stuff. Angle it so that it shines the light of the moon or the sun or whatever you can catch directly onto the house that the lover lives in, into the windows. Their entire life is ruined by the existence of the spacecraft that houses their beloved in space, where they shall never reach them. Plenty of food, air, and water, by the way, on the spacecraft. Not trying to kill the person, but you just have them endlessly suspended a couple hundred thousand feet above the love of their life. And they just know, like, this is not going to end well. There's nothing they can do. You can't just go into space on your own. That would be such torment, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, crime, I'm thinking, like, you know, comic book levels of heinous crimes, like stealing Mount Rushmore. How would you perfectly steal Mount Rushmore? Or like the Eiffel Tower?
Well, you take my monkey shrink ray.
You have a monkey shrink ray? Just specifically for monkeys or operated by monkeys?
Well, that's what I used it for primarily, but you just hit Mount Rushmore with it. It becomes like a small little rock you put in your pocket and you got Mount Rushmore.
Okay, well, if we're in the world of magic technology, then I guess you could just do anything with
that. Oh, condensing in atoms isn't that out of the realm of possibility.
I think the way that you steal Mount Rushmore is not by actually like taking possession of it. And you don't, like, put other faces on it or something that would basically be impossible. But you artistically alter the faces so they're, like, really off-putting.
Oh, it's like when people restore art and they do a really bad job of restoring the art, but you do it for Mount Rushmore.
Damn, are you just going to call art restorers out like that? But yeah.
Some of them are awful. Good God.
No, no, the specifically that one. What was it? It was like a picture of Jesus in South America somewhere, like Jesus art restoration. No, I'm dead serious.
Is that the one that looked more like Ronald McDonald after they were done?
I mean, I don't know what you think Ronald McDonald looks like, but if this looks like Ronald McDonald.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I can see that. It's a botch up.
For people that still can't see anything because our website is so good, how would they find this image?
I don't know. Look up what I just said. Jesus art restoration. Bad.
Monkey Christ is what that picture is referred to as. Oh, man. What the hell happened?
He kind of looks like a really poorly drawn sloth.
It kind of looks like they showed the original damaged painting to a child and were like, can you paint a new one? And the kid was like, okay. And had a really good time.
Look at the mouth. I mean, the eyes are bad, but look at that mouth. Look at the demon eyes. He has no irises.
Yeah, the fully blacked out eyes.
Yeah.
I think that's like a glare, you know, like the little glint in the eye.
Well, then in that case, he has no white of his eyes. He just has black eyes.
Also, the neck on this man.
The neck.
What a neck.
The beard is gone. It's just hair, no ears, and neck beard.
Ah, damn.
In 2012, Cecilia Jimenez, an 82-year-old widow and amateur painter, attempted to restore
Ecce Homo.
An almost century-old fresco of Jesus crowned with thorns in her local church in Borja, Spain. Despite a valiant effort, the tragically failed restoration went viral, and Jimenez, attempt was met with
Jimenez. You uncivilized swine.
I took 4 years of Spanish, therefore I have no excuse. I should be ashamed. But oddly enough, the impact of it drove so many people to come visit. I believe it was like in a church or somewhere. I don't know. But it like drove like a pilgrimage for people to come see this thing. And in a lot of ways, you know, art is just what makes people feel something. So like people look at this and they kind of feel, hey, look at that.
I 100% feel something when I look at this, when I look at this restored painting.
I wouldn't insult someone's art.
Yeah.
The difference is this is supposed to be a restoration as close to the original as possible. If you ask to restore something, that isn't the idea to make it look like it once did, like when it was first made.
I thought that was true until I learned about this.
There is not a single part of this that looks close.
Uh-huh.
The hair is different. There's no longer the crown. I mean, I guess the closest you can get is the nose. The color of the shirt is the same, I guess, but even that has weird, like, what are those, like, frilly things clowns wear, like, on top of their shirt? Like, their neck part where it's, like, the white frilly thing?
Oh, yeah, the poofy thing.
Yeah, their entire shirt looks like a wine-soaked, poof, you know?
Yeah, right?
What are the ruffle things that clowns wear around their neck? It's called a ruffle or a ruff. It's called a ruff.
Oh, okay.
It's a ruff. R-U-F-F.
Well, yeah, this is pretty rough. It's a rough restoration. You set it up. I just hit it out of the park.
Yeah, you did, man.
Park of the monkeys.
You crushed it. You crushed it.
You know what? This is the perfect crime. We found the perfect crime. Become paint restorers and ruin everything ever.
This woman was like, yes, I'll convince them that I know how to restore art.
Yeah.
And then I'll take their apparently a worthless piece of art and absolutely desecrate it.
Yeah. I'm shocked that there isn't an NFT being sold of that restored painting. Like, just to really smash it into 21st century. Yeah, just really pull this all together.
This isn't the only one of these, right? There's like several really awful art restoration things.
Oh, there's been tons over the years.
I mean, it's hard. You essentially have to be a good artist to do it. So I imagine it's quite difficult to restore art and make it look good and actually make it match in a way and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I agree. It should be really difficult, but you shouldn't volunteer to do it unless you can.
Hey, you gotta learn somehow.
Yeah, you gotta learn. This is a different type of idea. I just put something in the Discord, just like this building. No one can see this. No one knows what we're talking.
Ah, yes. I too want to take a castle and then turn it into like a mustached White Castle.
Yeah, it is literally White Castle. Like it's a restaurant now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
God, the world of art restoration.
I like the big arching windows that turn into tiny little like cubes.
Gotta keep it storm safe.
Baby Jesus! Baby Jesus!
Okay, baby Jesus literally has a red demonic head in that sculpture.
Baby Jesus!
Oh, well, that's just undried clay, okay? Listen.
Baby, when that dries, it's not going to look any better, man.
that is satanic.
That's a shrunken head on top of a baby body. That's no good.
That looks Photoshop. That doesn't even look right.
It's not Photoshop. That looks like someone really...
It doesn't. And look at the angle of the light and look at the blurry blending of the clay onto the dried stuff. That's Photoshop.
No, it's not Photoshop. No way.
That ain't real.
It's just so bad it looks Photoshopped. Like, how could someone mess up that much? But nah, it's real.
Nah.
100%.
So what we're looking at right now, I Googled literally bad restoration statue, went to images.
Yeah.
And there's one called like Monkey Christ painting. I thought it was a statue.
That's the one we were talking about.
Monkey Christ. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Echo Mono is what the one we were originally talking about is referred to as. Behold the monkey.
Behold the monkey.
Behold my monkey.
Oh, that brings up an interesting conundrum. So back to Mount Rushmore and the perfect crime.
Oh, yeah.
What if while you were there, you were like some kind of restorer, but you did a very meticulous job of replacing Mount Rushmore with a perfect recreation that you made? You know, like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, you know how he carried like little bits of rocks in his pocket? Like every day you went home with like a piece of it. And over the course of like 40 years, you replaced the entirety of Mount Rushmore so that what is Mount Rushmore in Mount Rushmore is no longer Mount Rushmore, and you have the real reassembled Mount Rushmore in your backyard somewhere. Like, at what point does it not become Mount Rushmore anymore, and you have the real Mount Rushmore? And if no one knows, is it the perfect crime because no one ever thinks that they were robbed, but you know you've got Mount Rushmore in your backyard?
Isn't this the story of the boat? Where like you slowly replace like the wooden boards of a boat over the course of like a lifetime, and then eventually all the boards have been replaced. Is it the same boat?
Yeah, exactly.
It's that question.
It's like if you and I exchanged atoms one at a time and we replaced each other, like my nose atom to your nose atom, and we just replaced, at what point do I become you and you become me?
Do you look like you, and like, are you still technically you just with my atoms at this point? Like, do you still have your memories?
No, it's recreating you with me. So like we'd start from the feet up.
Well, it's essentially like teleporting too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a teleporting machine, like a Star Trek teleporter or whatever, it is not physically the exact same atoms and the exact same arrangement.
Yeah.
Even if it's mostly the same atoms.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. Well, this is an interesting philosophical discussion, but I think the thing about the Rushmore crime is like, the thing that makes Mount Rushmore valuable is its location in whichever Dakota it's in. I don't remember because I don't know anything about the Dakotas, but like...
Is it in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, yes.
Yes.
I know, I was just...
Okay, I couldn't tell if you were serious or not because I know you too well.
I figured the U.S. president's on the rocks would probably be...
I'd be pretty American if something like that was in another country, though, just because some American was like, God, I love our country. I just got to carve this mountain now.
Went to Canada to see Mount Rushmore.
But anyway, the value isn't really transferred. Like, if someone came over to your house and saw your real Rushmore in your backyard, they'd be like, oh, cool, you got a replica of Mount Rushmore. And even if you could empirically prove to them, like, no, this is the real route, but they'd be like, no, the real one's the mountain. It's up on the mountain. It's still over there.
Well, the moment you replace the first rock, wouldn't that become part of Mount Rushmore?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Anything that is a part of the monument where it stands as it stands, mm-hmm. unless people know it's been like tampered with. I don't know if you've really stolen any of the actual value.
True.
You might gain some self-satisfaction, but like mm-hmm. in terms of committing a crime, I feel like you do need to gain the value of whatever it is. Whatever yeah. you've done that is criminal. If it doesn't gain you anything, it may technically be criminal, but also it's essentially pointless.
Yeah. Was it criminal though? Like here's another scenario. What if you wanted to kill somebody, but you made a perfect clone and you got a brain scan of them, you put it in the new body. Let's say this body thought this was the person, lived out their life just as if they went to sleep one day, they woke up back in their bed, but they were replaced with the new one you made, but you've got the original one in your basement and you tell them everything that you did and you let them know and you kill them, like you murder them, but no one would ever know. Even if they found the body of the person that you killed, they'd be so confused because the person who you killed is still living their life as if nothing happened, but they're a different person, just they think they're the original. Like, is that a crime? Did you get the satisfaction of killing that person?
Yes, you'd still murder someone.
True. But the question isn't whether or not it's a crime. It's like, do you get the quote-unquote value? Like, say this was a horrible person that wronged you in a terrible way and you needed revenge and you did this to get revenge.
I feel like you do kind of get the value for that. If it's purely vindictive and you just want the person that you despise to know that you've done this, I feel like if you do it the way you describe and you tell them what you did and they live with the horror of understanding that a clone is like replaced them and then you kill them.
Yeah.
I feel like that is some kind of crazy deranged form of torture. Like that's really messed up for that person.
And the value is all yours too. Like this isn't like everyone else has to be in on it. This is literally just like satisfaction for you. And if you would get satisfaction out of it, then yeah, there would be the value. It's not the same thing as like, would their family suffer if they never knew? Because they would never know.
Man, what if you changed your physical appearance to perfectly match the person you're killing and you take over their life?
Ooh.
Now that would be sweet revenge.
I can't remember what it's called. Have you guys seen, there's a Netflix show, an original show starring, I think it's Jason Bateman, where almost this exact premise takes place. Have you guys seen that?
Well, we only take our ideas from other places.
I know,
and people,
nothing
and
is,
we act like it's ours.
I steal everything I say.
Yeah.
This is like that 2005 movie. Remember that 2005 movie?
The Clone Wars?
Something, our hair episodes.
Is this what the Clone Wars is about?
Yeah, I think so. With the Padme and Anakin?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, so just because I have a law degree and everything, legally speaking, it's not funny, but like watching that play out in court would be kind of weird because in court, essentially, if someone found, you know, the body of the person you killed and their clone was still living, you have to prove that you killed someone, right?
Yeah.
To be found guilty of murder. The prosecutor has to prove that you killed someone. I mean, obviously, they could prove that you killed, like, a human. Some person, I guess, because you've got this dead body in your basement. But you can prove that the person they're accusing you of murdering is not dead. Because you can literally call the person, they'll be subpoenaed or whatever they are, and you show them to the court, and you're like, look, they're not dead. I don't know what would happen. Like, obviously, you killed someone.
They'd have to figure out that they were a clone, and they'd have to prove that there was a cloning process, and some of that have to prove that, I mean, I don't know, they could probably go to the Supreme Court to decide whether clones constituted real people. It'd be a hell of a, there'd be a lot of questions to answer.
Well, I mean, just twins alone, I think, already establish a precedent for genetically identical people being independent.
Sure.
But also just like a clone with the exact same thoughts, like technology questions aside, it's kind of an interesting conundrum. Like here's the body of the person you killed. They have all the evidence, but also just like you just, hey, here's the person you say I killed. Like ask them anything. They'll be just as confused as you are.
Yeah. Well, and it really, what would really be a nightmare is when the cloned person looks at the pictures of themselves all murdered or whatever, you know, they look at the picture of their dead body in a freezer.
Yeah.
That's messed up. I hope cloning never actually happens, man. Humanity is so fucked if cloning becomes a reality.
What if they could clone your body without cloning your mind? And that way you could just, like, if you need to, like, get an organ replaced or something, they
could
just
take it from... That's another
movie. God damn it.
We did that movie.
Yeah, we did
that movie. I mean, we thought of that.
We thought of that movie. Oh. Yeah. But, like, no, have you guys seen The Prestige?
Yes.
Wait, have you seen The Prestige?
I don't remember.
It's like the two magicians who hate each other.
It's got a hell of a twist.
Yes. I have seen that.
Okay, yeah. So like, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen The Prestige, you should go see it. It's a pretty cool movie. But you know, they hire Tesla to make like the teleportation machine, but it's not a teleportation machine. It's a duplication machine and it makes perfect copies. And like the way that, you know, Hugh Jackman's character kind of like approaches it being like, it's a 50-50 toss of whether I end up here or there. And it's kind of the same thing about Soma is like, you don't really know like where you're going to be, but you do know because it's just a delusion of yourself. It's not a 50-50 shot. You make a new version. You copy your mind to there. That is you, but carrying on in a different way. You're stuck in the original one. And like who kills who and who like goes in the box and drowns. It's like, it's always the original goes in the box. It's like, there's no 50-50 shot. It's just you're making a duplication that appears over across the room. And it's just like, but who is who? And what is identity? And what is like the reality of life and being from your perspective? Like, it's a fascinating idea.
If you eat a clone of yourself, do you gain your own power and double in strength?
Only if you eat the heart.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would eat my own heart.
I don't think I could do it, but partially because heart is really kind of gross and chewy, especially big ones like humans have.
You've eaten human heart before?
No, I've eaten like beef heart before, I think.
Perfect crime.
I don't think that's a crime at all.
What happens if you replace someone, but not with a clone, but with mechanical organs, and they don't know? So you replace their lungs one day and they don't know, and then you replace their heart and their liver and their guts, and until their entire insides is mechanical, and then you bring them over one day and you just show them your big rack of organs and it's like laid out in a perfect recreation, and then you say to them, all I need now is your skin to finish off, and then you will be over there, but it'll be you. And like you take the skin off of them and you put it on their organs again, and then they're back alive. Like you make them fall asleep and then you put them there, and then you show them the mechanical version of themselves, and you just really mess with their brain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Was the question, would it be cool or a crime? Because now I'm a little bit more concerned.
I'm pretty sure we've decided these are all crimes, but wouldn't it be cool?
No, I thought you were going to say we've decided these are all cool.
These are all cool ideas, guys.
All crime is cool. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, man. Guys, I really want to go out and commit some crimes. Specifically, art restoration and body replacement crimes.
I want water balloon monkeys.
All right, well, I didn't say it, but at the conclusion of yours, Wade... Points, I guess. Some points.
Ooh.
I really like monkey balloons, but I really have mixed feelings about all the other parts of your ideas. So
Mark's got more murdery than mine, for the record. I dodged the murdery for you.
What's wrong with murdery?
I was really feeling Mark's ideas until the last thing he got really overexcited about there. I don't feel comfortable.
What, the organ replacement by mechanical
things? When I visit you, I'm staying in a hotel, just to be clear.
You don't know how many organs you've had replaced already, man.
Yeah, well, I don't want any more.
You might go check.
No, thank you.
What if he just needs your skin?
Yeah, I really do just need your
skin. Well, if you just need my skin, I guess we might as well go all the way. But
it won't be any different to you. It's not you giving me your skin. It's you getting all your organs back.
Wait, if I get to be Mecha me, does that mean I live forever? Can I stay Mecha Bob?
Well, no, Mecha Bob, but like I just need to copy your brain. But I'm going to take your skin and brain and put it in this. Actually, maybe I've already replaced your brain with Mecha brain.
Oh.
Would you ever know?
Does not compute.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a call about your Mecha Brain's extended warranty yet?
Just hit it with the Westworld. That doesn't look like much of anything to me. It's over. That's the end. No more ideas.
Oh, okay.
Please. It was a bit, and now I'm honestly a little concerned, Mark. I don't know what sort of technology you have access to, and I know you're a little insane, so I'm a little worried about it. Oh, but,
There was actually, wait, no, before we end this.
What?
Did you guys see, there was an article about this, like, 11-year-old college graduate?
No.
11-year-old boy graduates from college as summa cum laude. Got his bachelor's degree in physics at the age of 11, after only a year in university. And I'm sure it was a situation where they were making a lot of corners cut. Because completing it in a year, yeah, it's very impressive. But you can't get that without the professors giving you a lot of help along the way and being very lenient. But also, this kid said that, I've already completed a few courses, he said in an interview. The boy added that he wants to work as a scientist in the future and plans to eventually, quote, replace as many parts of the body as possible with counterfeit organs. That is literally a quote from this kid.
Ooh, that's questionable phrasing. I totally am on board with, yeah, I want to replace as many parts of the human body with, you know, with surrogates and organic replacements as possible. counterfeit organs.
Yeah, yeah.
This kid's grummy dad in the background just like, yeah, yeah, graduate. I won't get that organ business started. Come on, grow me some lungs.
I mean, it probably is a situation where the parents are super pushy because it seems like that he was previously at the University of Technology in the Netherlands, but there was a dispute between his parents and the school. He was set to become the university's youngest graduate but was not permitted to finish his studies. The school found it unrealistic for Simons to graduate before his 10th birthday, but his parents claimed their son was a victim of bullying behavior. So it's clear their parents are, like, really pushing the super genius route, which is super stressful on a kid. Like, I can't imagine the kind of expectations you would have heaped on top of you. But they are clearly very, very smart and, like, gifted. But
no matter how smart you are, I feel like there's no version of that that's completely healthy for a person to deal with. But
yeah, boy 11 becomes second youngest graduate ever, plans to make humans immortal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, now that's the way you phrase that. That's the good shit. Plans to make humans immortal. Plans to invent type of gum that never loses its flavor.
Ooh.
It's one or the other.
I would like that kind of gum.
That would be Mark's favorite kind of gum.
I don't know if I'd want to be immortal. Yeah. What if, like, the sun explodes and we're just, like, left here miserable and being tortured for all of existence?
Yeah, there's too many people that are trying to be Tony Stark. There's not enough people trying to be Willy Wonka. And really, I feel like the Willy Wonka aspect is where the real fun's at.
Yeah.
Like, if I was to be an evil genius, it would be a Willy Wonka genius.
Yeah, food.
Candy. For TV dinners in the palm of your hand.
I like dinner.
Okay, so Mark has some points. Wade has some points. Really trying not to try.
What was the prompt on this episode? The perfect crime.
Perfect crime. Yeah, we really wandered. Really got out there.
Art restoration.
That lady must have gotten so much shit on the internet. The thing did not turn out very well, and it's very funny looking. Also, sorry to her, because I can't imagine that poor lady who did her best.
I hope someone really liked it so much where they, like, hired her on full time, like, you must paint everything for me.
But anyway, because Mark brought that up, points. Some points. Because Wade got all the way to monkey balloons, a little bit of points.
Woohoo!
Mark got pretty creepy with the replacing my organs and Mecha Bob situation.
He just needs your skin.
Take away some points for that.
Fair enough. That's fair.
Wade didn't threaten to essentially kill me, kind of, in a confusing and roundabout way. So I guess some points for that. And after a final tally of definitely some numbers, I think Mark wins.
Yay!
Oh.
Hell yeah!
Okay. Was it close?
I actually kind of was close because do you ever get that thing where, like, what we were talking about was completely surreal and it was just a bit, you're just dreaming about technology, Mark, and you get excited.
Yeah.
But that bit where you were like, maybe I already didn't replace your body. Maybe that got to the point where some part of my brain was like, wait, it's a joke, right?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Like, that's not possible. And, like, in the back of my head, I had an actual sense of dread.
Yeah.
You almost lost it. You almost drove me to Wade. You almost creeped me all the way to Wade.
I don't shy away from the extremes. I just go where the truth is. The quote-unquote truth.
Hell yeah.
The truth. Well, you definitely found the truth.
Yeah, yeah,
I
man.
I think.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, congratulations,
Thank
Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good try, Wade.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you could have tried a little harder, but...
That's all I can ever offer.
I'd like to thank my first love, Smithers, for supporting me through all of this. Really been...
I thought Smithers was the one you stole your first love from.
Yep. That too. Both can be true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to commemorate this to them and just... Big preach across the board for everyone involved in this win.
All right. Tasteful speech.
Thank you.
That's going to be the end of the podcast.
Wait. What if you slowly replace people with the atoms like you were talking about, but instead of making two, you just absorb the other person? You become both?
So you grow twice in size.
Yeah.
Yeah. At what point do you stop being you and start being someone else? What if we start, like, replacing points slowly?
We could be together forever.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening to Distractable. Make sure you subscribe or follow or do whatever the platform wants you to do so you hear the new episode every Monday, because there is a new episode every Monday. You can find all of us online at places, but don't worry about that. Just listen to this. This is the best thing we have to offer. Collectively and individually, none of us has achieved anything even remotely as good as this podcast. I feel comfortable... claiming that to the world. I'm sure everyone agrees with me.
I'm happily married.
No. This podcast is the pinnacle of our existence.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't think any of you can dispute that.
I wouldn't. I refuse to.
So So yeah, good win, Mark.
Thank you.
Good effort, Wade. Kinda. And
thank you.
That's it. Podcast out.